Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 12, Dhruva Maharaj Goes Back to Godhead, Text Number 10. Ataya jata yagyesham
Ataya jata yagnesham
Kratu bhir puritakshinai Dravya Kriya Devatanam Karma Karma Phala Pradam
Karma Karma Phala Pradam
Ataya Jata Yagnesham
Ataya Jata Yagnesham
Kratu Bhir Bhuri Dakshinai Dravya Kriya Devatanam Karma Karma Phala Pradam
Karma Karma Phala Pradam
Ataya Jata Yajnesham
Ataya Jata Yajnesham
Kratu bhir bhuri thakshinai. Dravya kriya devatanam. Karma karma phala pradam.
Thaya jata
yajnesham. Kratu bhir bhuri dakshinai. Dravya kriya devatanam.
Karma
karma phala pradam. Atha.
Atha.
Thereafter.
Thereafter.
Ayajata.
Ayajata.
He worshipped.
He worshipped.
Yajnayisham.
Yajnayisham.
The master of sacrifices.
The master of sacrifices.
Kratubhi. By sacrificial ceremonies.
Sacrificial ceremonies.
Huri.
Huri.
Great.
Great.
Dakshinai,
dakshinai,
by charities.
Dravya kriya devatanam,
of sacrifices, including various paraphernalia, activities, and demigods.
Of sacrifices, including various paraphernalia, activities, and demigods.
Karma,
karma,
the objective.
The objective.
Karma phala,
karma phala,
the result of activities.
The result of activities.
Pradam,
pradam,
rewards.
Rewards.
Translation: as long as he remained at home, Dhruva Maharaj performed many great ceremonial sacrifices in order to please the enjoyer of all sacrifices, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prescribed ceremonial sacrifices are especially meant to please Lord Vishnu, who is the objective of all such sacrifices and who awards the resultant benedictions. Report by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita 3.9, it is said, Yajnarthat karmano nyantra lokoyam karma bandhana. One should act or work only in order to please the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, one becomes entangled in the resultant reactions. According to the four divisions of Varna and Ashram, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are especially advised to perform great ceremonial sacrifices and to distribute their accumulated money very liberally. Dhruva Maharaj, as a king and ideal Kshatriya, performed many such sacrifices, giving very liberally in charity. Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are supposed to earn their money and accumulate great riches. Sometimes they do it by acting sinfully. Kshatriyas are meant to rule over a country. Dhruva Maharaj, for example, in the course of ruling, had to fight and kill many Yakshas. Such action is necessary for Kshatriyas. A Kshatriya should not be a coward, and he should not be non-violent. To rule over the country, he has to act violently. Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are therefore specially advised to give in charity at least 50% of their accumulated wealth. In Bhagavad Gita, it is recommended that even though one enters the renounced order of life, he still cannot give up the performance of yajna, dana, and tapasya. They are never to be given up. Tapasya is meant for the renounced order of life. Those who are retired from worldly activities should perform tapasya, penances, and austerities. Those who are in the material world, the kshatriyas and the vaishyas, must give charity. Brahmacharis, in the beginning of their lives, should perform different kinds of yajnas. Dhruva Maharaj, as an ideal king, practically emptied his treasury by giving charity. A king is not meant to simply to realize taxes from the citizens and accumulate wealth to spend in sense gratification. World monarchy has failed ever since kings began to satisfy their personal senses with the taxes accumulated from the citizens. Of course, whether the system is monarchy or democracy, the same corruption is still going on. At the present moment, there are different parties in the democratic government, but everyone is busy trying to keep his post or trying to keep his political party in power. The politicians have very little time to think of the welfare of the citizens whom they oppress with heavy taxes in the form of income tax, sales tax, and many other taxes. People sometimes have 80 to 90% of their income taken away, and these taxes are lavishly spent for the high salaries drawn by the officers and rulers. Formerly, the taxes accumulated from the citizens were spent for performing great sacrifices as enjoined in the Vedic literature. At the present moment, however, almost all forms of sacrifice are not at all possible. Therefore, it is recommended in the Shastras that people should perform Sankirtan Yajna. Any householder, regardless of his position, can perform this Sankirtan Yajna without expenditure. All the family members can sit down together and simply clap their hands and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Somehow or other, everyone can manage to perform such a yajna and distribute prasad to the people in general. That is quite sufficient for this age of Kali. The Krishna consciousness movement is based on this principle. Chant the Hare Krishna Mantra at every moment, as much as possible, both inside and outside the temple, and, as far as possible, distribute prasad. This process can be accelerated with the cooperation of state administrators and those who are producing the country's wealth. Simply by liberal distribution of prasad and sankirtan, the whole world can become peaceful and prosperous. Generally, in all material sacrifices recommended in the Vedic literature, there are offerings to the demigods. This demigod worship is especially meant for less intelligent men. Actually, the result of such sacrifice goes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Bhuktaram Yagatapasam. He is actually the result, the enjoyer of all sacrifices. His name, therefore, is Yajna Purusha. Although Dhruva Maharaj was a great devotee and had nothing to do with these sacrifices, to set an example to his people, he performed many sacrifices and gave all his wealth in charity. For as long as he lived as a householder, he never spent a farthing for his sense gratification. In this verse, the word Karma Phala Pradam is very significant. The Lord awards everyone different kinds of karma as the individual living entity's desire. He is the super soul present within the heart of everyone, and he is so kind and liberal that he gives everyone full facilities to perform whatever acts one wants. Then the result of the action is also enjoyed by the living entity. If anyone wants to enjoy or lord it over material nature, the Lord gives him full facilities, but he becomes entangled in the resultant reactions. Similarly, if anyone wants to engage himself fully in devotional service, the Lord gives him full facilities, and the devotee enjoys the results. The Lord is therefore known as Karma Phala Prada. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandiham Shri Guru Shri Yutapara Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanditam Krishna He Krishna Karuna Sindho Nina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanam Supe Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanjagalvadarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhavya Evacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Upaya jata yagmesham kratubhir bhuri dhakshinai dravya kriya devatanam karma karma phala pradam. Sacrifices are being mentioned in this verse as just befitting a king. The king is meant to be the representative of God on earth. Kshatriya is one who prevents people from being harmed, and the ultimate harm is to remain in the cycle of birth and death. So one is recommended that he should not become a king, a father, a school teacher, or a spiritual master, unless he can deliver his dependents from the cycle of birth and death. And the only person who is Bhava Chitta, who can release us from the cycle of birth and death, is Krishna, God. Therefore, a leader must be a pure devotee. We've heard of many types of sacrifices, especially in the Bhagavad Gita. There's an extensive discussion of the different types of sacrifices performed by different types of people. But the difference between these types of sacrifice is only an apparent difference. In actuality, all sacrifices are the same because they're all meant to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's Yajna Purusha, the rightful enjoyer of all sacrifices. In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the first chapter, text 37, is saying, describing how the varieties of sacrifices, which are generally offered to the demigods, are actually going to Krishna. Says, the Virat Purusha's face is the Brahmanas, his arms are the Kshatriyas, his thighs are the Vaishyas, and the Shudras are under the protection of his feet. That's really sweet. The Shudras are at the lotus feet of the Lord. Sometimes they're disrespected, but here they're the ones under the lotus feet of the Lord, so that's very sweet. And it goes on to say, all the worshipable demigods are also overtaken by him. And it is the duty of everyone to perform sacrifices with feasible goods to appease the Lord. So the Virat Purusha means the universal form. And it's made up of the demigods and their localities. Both the demigods and their planets are referred to by the same word, loka. They make up this body of the Virat Purusha. Why do we, what's the result of pleasing the demigods? What's the result of pleasing Krishna ultimately? There are many results, but ultimately everything you do is progressive. You evolve spiritually and grow from selfishness to giving. Vedic culture is a giving culture. fine points of understanding can come out from a position of being spiritually evolved. You'll be sensitive to understand the workings of material nature. If we are fully self-centered, though, meaning our only concern is my sense gratification, then we'll be angry because we can't get our senses satisfied, and we'll be bewildered. We won't learn properly, and it will just cycle down. But if we can give service, that's our natural position, and we gain knowledge that karma is affecting people, affecting me also. So it behooves me to act in my constitutional position and get free from this karma chakra. Therefore, the grihasthas, our householders, are recommended to give in charity to the renunciates. They have worked so hard, and sometimes they've worked sinfully to earn money to maintain themselves and their dependents. Whether it's a householder who owns one house or a king who owns a kingdom, everyone has these same dynamics of the rat race, they call it. Having to work very hard. A career. Actually, career means race also. It refers to a chariot driving around. So it's a race. They have to fight hard. And so in Vedic culture, even Jarasandha, the demon Jarasandha. We say demon, he's not ugly, not like a monster demon. He's a very attractive, intelligent demon, but he's a demon. This Jarasandha, he also did sacrifices and gave in charity to the Brahmanas. So many of these otherwise unsavory characters at least had the understanding that if I want to be powerful, then I have to follow Veda, which means I do sacrifice, I offer results to the Brahmanas. On my own, I'm not independently powerful. They had that much understanding, therefore they could become powerful by taking shelter of the Supreme Power, even if they thought they would double cross him in the end and kill Krishna, kill Vishnu. Still, they knew they had to take their power from him in the first place. But what's the essence of sacrifice? We're not recommended to do those kinds of sacrifices where we're trying to kill Krishna. So they were doing perfect sacrifices. All the details. Much more knowledge than I have, much more knowledge than, and I don't have much, but much more knowledge than any advanced pundit has in Kali Yuga. They were so advanced, so detailed, scrupulous. So much money was given in charity, so much ghee and cows were donated. So what's the problem? It was orthopraxis. It was absolutely perfect practice. But what's the essence of sacrifice? To please Yajna Purush, personality of Godhead. Sacrifice alone is an expression of morality. Sometimes we think that ethics means that we can arrive at the good of something by proper philosophical understanding. Actually, we can only think about the good through philosophical understanding. that doesn't actually bring about the good. That's a misunderstanding. Otherwise, simply filling the world with armchair philosophers would solve the world's problems. But we proliferated that for quite some time, and it hasn't worked. Vedic perspective, Krishna's perspective, is that sacrifice is the vehicle by which ethics and morality are transmitted to this world. They're actualized through sacrifice. We've received something, we give something in return. It's simply the law of karma, restated in another way. But this sacrifice, if directed to Krishna, to Vishnu himself, directly, that elevates us beyond the realm of karma. And so a priest is called Purohit. He's thinking of the welfare of others by doing these sacrifices. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first chapter also, in text 4, it's describing it's describing how these sages, Naimishe Nimisha Kshetre Rishaya Shaunakadaya Satram Swarga Gaya Lokaya Sahasra Samamasata. Once in a holy place in the forest of Naimisharanya, great sages headed by the sage Shaunaka assembled to perform a great 1,000-year sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Lord and his devotees. Prabhupada writes in his purport, "The devotees of Lord Vishnu offer all kinds of sacrifices for his pleasure. The devotees are always attached to the service of the Lord, whereas fallen souls are attached to the pleasures of material existence. In Bhagavad Gita it is said that anything performed in this material world for any reason other than for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu causes further bondage for the performer. It is enjoined, therefore, that all acts must be performed sacrificially for the satisfaction of Vishnu and his devotees. This will bring everyone peace and prosperity." And he says all acts should be performed sacrificially, so sacrifice is not stereotyped. Yat karoshi adashnasi yat jahoshi dadasya yat tapasyasi kaltya tat karushma madarpanam. Arpanam also refers to a kind of sacrifice as an offering to me. Arpanam. So all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer, give away, and so on. Everything as an offering to Krishna should be performed as sacrifice. So we're advised not to get confused and think that sacrifices only means when you set up a brick kund with the special designs, wood and ghee and grains and cows and brahmanas and chanting of Vedic hymns. That's fine, that is sacrifice, but it's not the only kind of sacrifice. Otherwise, only a few people would be eligible to do sacrifice. And that's not Vedic culture. Everyone should be sacrificed. Everyone is meant to serve Krishna. However, okay, on the other hand, that's not a perfect argument, because even those who see the sacrifice also receive the same benefit as the person who does the sacrifice. Even the person who sees the sacrifice, he also gets the same benefit. Just like when the pujari does arati, everyone who looks at the arati gets the same benefit the pujari does. Not that everybody has to get in there and do it.
So you're a participant?
Yes. Equal share of Krishna's mercy is given to everyone who participates. So that expands the realm of participation, possibly to include everyone. But at the same time, everyone has their own personal activities which should be done sacrificially to the Lord as confirmed by Prabhupada in his purport. So it's not stereotyped. Do you have Bhagavad Gita? What's chapter 4, text 25 say?
English. Some yogis perfectly worship the demigods by offering different sacrifices to them, and some offer sacrifices in the fire of the Supreme Brahman.
Yeah, so 25, and then you can continue reading the next three verses, I think.
Some, the unadulterated brahmacharis, sacrifice the hearing process and the senses in the fire of mental control, and others, the regulated householders, sacrifice the objects of the senses in the fire of the senses. Others, who are interested in achieving self-realization through control of the mind and senses, offer the functions of all the senses and of the life breath as oblations into the fire of the controlled mind. Having accepted strict vows, some become enlightened by sacrificing their possessions, and others by performing severe austerities, by practicing the yoga of eightfold mysticism, or by studying the Vedas to advance in transcendental knowledge.
Okay, so Krishna's described a variety of types of sacrifices for different classes of people. So he himself is giving this broad view of sacrifice. It's not just stereotyped. And so we have to learn to, because we're in a diverse culture, a devotional culture, we're going to have to learn to appreciate the sacrifices other people are making. The natural tendency in this world, material world, is that everyone thinks others to be like himself. And so that I'm suffering, I'm working really hard to do something, and it's hard for me to do it. So everybody should also be working hard like me. But we're not appreciating that they're also working hard in their own way. We don't know how hard they're working. And it's a sacrifice, they can offer it to the Lord. And Krishna is so broad that he can accept everyone's sacrifices. We can only take something with two hands. But Krishna can take things from every angle at any moment. If we stereotype sacrifices, we're stereotyping Krishna, saying that he can only accept something through the fire or through the arati, whatever we do.
If the word sacrifice itself comes from Latin sacrificium, religious activities, religious works.
Yeah. So religion is not sacrificed. Like, in the case of my mother, she raised two kids, no father was there. Worked so hard, worked all day long, every day. Came home afternoon, just had to sleep a little bit and take care of whatever was there. Very little time to associate with the kids. It was a difficult time for her. She made this huge sacrifice. So if even a single ordinary mother in this world can make such a sacrifice, how much should we be willing to sacrifice for our supreme parent, Krishna? And again, the point is love. The point is to satisfy Krishna, Yajna Purusha. He's the enjoyer of sacrifices. And what pleases him? He's pleased by love. In the third chapter, text 35, Bhagavatam, saying, Evam janmani karmani hyakartur hyajanasya cha varnayanti smakavaya veda guhyani hritpate. Thus learned men describe the births and activities of the unborn and inactive. The births and activities of the unborn and inactive, which is undiscoverable even in the Vedic literatures. He's the Lord of the heart. So he's hritpate, the Lord of the heart. Therefore, he's satisfied by love. In our line of disciplic succession, today we are fortunate to be celebrating the celebration of Madhavendra Puri. Appearance Day today. So he appeared before Lord Chaitanya. And Advaitacharya and Ishwarapuri were his disciples. Advaitacharya was also before Lord Chaitanya. He was already he's the one. He prayed for Lord Chaitanya to appear. Advaitacharya. So his spiritual master is Madhavendrapuri. Madhavendrapuri appeared in the line of Sripad Madhvacharya through his disciple Lakshmipati Tirtha. But Madhavendrapuri was not an ordinary kind of, in the sense of all the other Vaishnavas in his line. He had a special quality of rasa relationship with Krishna, with Radha and Krishna. If it's okay, I'd like to read a little of his biography here. Madhavendra, before Lord Chaitanya appeared, he sent his eternal associates like Sri Advaitacharya, Sri Jagannath Mishra, Satchi Mata, Madhavendrapuri, Ishwarapuri to earth. Madhavendrapuri took initiation from Lakshmipati Tirtha in the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. He had many disciples, but Advaitacharya and Ishwarapuri were the chief disciples. In one way or another, all the Vaishnavas in Bengal and Jagannath Puri were connected with Madhavendrapuri. And then afterward, Chaitanya came, many of his disciples joined Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, many of the disciples of Madhavendrapuri. Vrindavan Das Thakur writes that Madhavendrapuri's body was completely full of divine love, so were his followers. He displayed uncommon love of God. Seeing a dark blue rain cloud, he would fall down unconscious. Day and night he was intoxicated from drinking the ambrosia of Krishna Prema. He made an extensive pilgrimage of India and passed most of his life in Vrindavan and Orissa. And he began restoration work of Vrindavan that Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis would later continue. He would wander from grove to grove remembering Radha Krishna's sweet pastimes. He would faint in ecstasy. In a dream, Krishna, in his form as Gopal, ordered Madhavendrapuri to uncover a buried deity of Gopal and install him atop Govardhan Hill. So Madhavendrapuri then found the deity exactly where the deity said he would be hiding and celebrated the installation by making a mountain of food to offer to Krishna. This Annakuta festival is also called Govardhan Puja. The original Gopal deity known as Srinathji is now worshipped in Nathadwar, Rajasthan. Madhavendrapuri introduced the conception of Madhurya Bhava, conjugal love, in the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. Madhavendrapuri sowed the seed of Prema Bhakti. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became the towering tree, dropping honey sweet fruits of Prema upon everyone. And he also revealed Viraha Bhava, the mood of love relished in separation from God. So these two things, Madhurya Rasa and Vipralamba, or separation from Krishna, are the keystones that define Lord Chaitanya's mood. So we owe that heritage to Madhavendrapuri. He wrote a verse. Madhavendrapuri's verse goes, Ai Dina Dayadra Nata He Mathura Nata Kadavalokya Se Hridayam Tvaraloka Kataram Daita Pramyati Kim Karotyaham. O compassionate Lord of the poor and humble, O Lord of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Without seeing you, my heart has become very much afflicted. Oh, my beloved, I am overwhelmed. What shall I do now? And Krishnadas Kaviraj, who wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita, said that just as the Kaustubha jewel is the most precious of all the jewels, this shloka is the rasa kavya, the best verse in the entire treasury of rasa poetry. And that this verse actually was spoken by Srimati Radharani herself. So Madhavendra Puri was able to understand Srimati Radharani's mood. O compassionate Lord of the poor and humble, O Lord of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Without seeing you, my heart has become very much afflicted. O my beloved, I'm overwhelmed. What shall I do now? So eventually, Madhavendra Puri had disciples like Ishwara Puri. Ishwara Puri took care of Madhavendra Puri in his last days as he was leaving his body, cleaning up after him, taking very humble care of him, and he blessed him. He gave his blessings to Ishwara Puri. And later Ishwara Puri became the spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Today Madhavendra Puri's samadhi is in Orissa, Remuna, Orissa, just down the road from a temple of Chirchor Gopinath. So we're very grateful to have this connection with Madhavendra Puri, who gives us this loving mood of devotional service. It's our responsibility to try to revive that loving feeling, which is so much missing in this world. Would you like to ask anything or share anything?
But I did want to thank you for the recommendation for the second part, that second volume of Prabhupada, Sarasurukas.
Yeah.
I got that on my tablet, and nice. Reading stories.
Yeah, Satsarup Maharaj has a lot of nectar. Okay. Yeah, so love is the essence of sacrifice. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.